I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
And we are back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. Live from Twitter Pizza. Welcome back, Randy Harris.
Where'd I go?
Well, we were talking. We were talking off air.
I was talking about Katie.
We have a live studio audience.
Did you ever meet my former co-host, Kate?
I did not. Yeah. I heard legendary stories
there
about
her. There is legendary stories about her.
I heard she's quite easy on the eyes.
Not about that. She was a big MMA. You know, she trained a little bit.
Okay.
Heavily involved, early UFC stuff.
All right.
So it was good. But we also were just talking about Katie Spade.
Okay.
Do you know who she, you know who she's related to?
She's a fashion designer.
Well, she's dead now.
Kate Spade. Kate David Spade. Spade, right? The comedian?
Married to David Spade's brother, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Not that that means anything.
No.
I wonder why she never got in any of the Adam Sandler movies. Because David Spade's in all of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're like besties.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing I like about Adam, is that he uses all those same people,
right?
You know, over and over and over again. Even if it's just for one little, you know, whatever. I'd like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. I know you got a story that's going to bore me to death. So go ahead.
I don't even know if it's a story. It's not really a story.
How long is this?
What are you talking about?
How long is your story going to take?
I can shorten it. I can drag it out. What do you remember? I can fill some time.
Yeah, take 4 minutes, and I'm going to turn my mic off and take a nap.
Do
I have to pay attention?
I mean, I would like for you to be involved.
Well, I'd rather not be. But go ahead.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit risky, though.
Go ahead.
So, but obviously, you know, the world's in distress. We have the riots going on. We have these protests going on. We have the horrific, you know, death of George Floyd.
And others.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, this is the current. This is the newest. I mean, yeah. So I don't know. It just seems like I see these protests, and I wanted to do something to just kind of like bring the community together. So, I think I'm going to take a table. And like a tablecloth, and just go down to the police station with a truck full of pizza, and I'm gonna feed the police, I'm gonna feed the protesters, and let people sit down at the table and talk and bring a conversation of togetherness and community, and see if pizza can bridge that party. Because whether you're Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party, the pizza party trumps all, because it's sharing a meal, sharing an idea, sharing a story. And so, yeah.
I think so you want my opinion, or?
I want you to be a part of it. I want you to help me serve slices.
I want no part of it.
Why?
Now, you mentioned that you could get killed.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to react. If I'm feeding the police and the protesters turn on me.
Did you see about the barbecue?
No.
So there was a owner of, I think it was a Yaya's Chicken.
Okay.
I think, in the Midwest, who would feed the police for free.
Sure.
And I guess he was on a street corner, and I didn't read the whole thing. I don't know stories. There's 19 stories. But he was on the street corner feeding and was shot and killed.
Oh, was he really?
Yes. So you may want to think a little different. Now, I also read that he had a gun in his hand.
Right. The gun in the hand.
Allegedly. Right. Allegedly.
I mean, that's to shoot the meat before you grill it.
So I got involved in another thing on Facebook this morning. I meant to tell you this.
Okay.
So there was a Facebook ad about a realtor buying houses.
Okay.
Okay. The bottom half, and there's a realtor sitting here, so
there is a realtor.
So it was kind of ironic. So the bottom half of the photo was of houses.
Okay.
And let me make an offer for your house. The top photo was three Green Bay Packers sacking Tom Brady.
Okay.
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 In Green Bay Packer gear. It looked like a real photo.
Uh-huh.
And so, me being me, it was 4 a.m, you know, I had woken up, and I sent something about the photo, because it's illegal to use that photo.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
He came back with, even if I played for the Green Bay Packers, so he might have been one of those three people that was in that. And I said, yes, you can't do that. I know.
Can't use somebody else's image or
like
photo.
You can't use your own image.
Really?
You cannot use, if you played in the NFL like this guy did, and I Googled him, all right, he did play for the Packers, you cannot use that photo without permission of the Green Bay logo.
Oh, because the team owns the
images. Or the Nike logo.
Or the NFL shield, they own the rights.
Exactly. I said, if you block out those logos, I have to cease and desist. I know.
Right, right. You are the king of
No, not the king. I only have three. Two from the NFL, one from Pat Summerall.
Michael Buffer.
Well, that he never sent it in writing, and that was Bruce, not Michael. Bruce did. He sent me a verbal cease and desist. But that's because of a, and we've told the story. I legitimately had the Let's Get Ready to Rumble from Michael. A former person that was on this very radio station used it illegally. The station was going to get sued. They said, dude, you have 4,612. I don't think Dave Wagenford ever said dude, but he said, I was told, you have so many liners. Do you really need Michael Buffers?
Right.
Which I really didn't, and I moved on. So that really was more a verbal cease and desist.
Sure.
Not the written one that I got from Pat Summerall and the NFL. Okay. Totally different.
Right.
So I was explaining to him, and this is true. I got whatever clothing company, I don't remember it. I don't remember. It wasn't Nike. It might have been Reebok. I don't remember. I talked them into making Brad Culpepper jerseys.
Okay.
They sold them at the JCPenney at West Shore Plaza.
Okay.
I wanted to take a photo of Brad in the jersey.
Right.
Because of the radio show. And was told you cannot do that.
Why?
Because you can't.
Right. They own all the licensing. And
you
all
can
the
take
image.
A picture. They told me this. You can take a picture of Brad standing in front of the display of the jerseys.
Oh.
But you can't use a photo of Brad in that jersey.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you see it in the wrestling all the time. Gronkowski is apparently releasing from his WWE contract. You see that?
No.
He invoked his clause to opt out.
He gave up the belt?
Looks like that's
Or does he still have the belt?
He still has the belt, it appears, but he's just opting out, so he's free to go back to the NFL, I guess.
I wanted Bruce Arians to, like, throw a stunner on him or something and take the belt.
I want to take the belt.
Yeah, but you're a nobody.
I am a somebody.
You're not.
I'm going to take that belt.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go get that from Gronk.
Okay.
He's old and slow.
Can I film it?
Of course you
I
can.
I would love to watch Gronk beat your ass.
He could not. Come on.
First of all, he's got the six brothers.
Yeah, but that doesn't make
sense. So they're all going to be kind of hanging out. And then there's going to be TJ and JJ. Have you seen all the Watt commercials?
Yeah.
You know, the tuna, TJ, tuna for TJ, blah, blah, blah for this J. You know, just total craziness.
I'll take my chances.
All right, so are you going
to
go do that?
I'll take my squad. He has his squad. I got UFC fighters coming to the restaurant. We'll take them.
They're not going to have your back.
We'll have a Royal Rumble on the field.
They're not going to have your back.
Why?
There was a former guy who did a radio show at this very station.
Yes.
He used to travel around with players and do things. There was almost a massive brawl at a nightclub.
Okay.
Of a guy that I know, and I won't say his name, whatever. And this particular person turned to these NFL players and said, you got my back, right? And they laughed. They said, of course. You're back for what?
Right. Well, nobody's going to take a charge. Nobody wants to go to jail for, like...
These guys are not going to have your back.
Wow. Wow.
They're not.
But if they like the pizza, they might.
Yeah, but they're not going to get their pizza and make their pizza until after the show. That's why I set it up for the bottom of the hour. No, that's why I did it, so that they can get a nice hot pizza.
Yeah, of course.
We might get Billy or either the Mats or both of the Mats and Billy, or Billy and one of the Mats or Billy and the other Mat to get behind the counter and throw some dough and make some stuff. So, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to take the belt. I feel like I'm ready. I'll trade them. I got the Hogan belt, Hulkamania belt up on the wall. A belt for a belt.
You're an idiot. All right. Let's take a quick break.
We'll do it.
Let's reschedule. Let's get everything set up.
We're starting to fire. Like, we're starting to fill up. The restaurant's starting to get... we might actually run out of capacity.
Yeah. How many people are legally allowed in here?
36 and a half.
What's full capacity?
73.
Okay. And you're supposed to be at...
It's 50% for restaurants.
When did it go to 50?
2 weeks ago.
I thought they were going to 250.
No, it is 50. To 50. It is 50.
It's 50 now. I thought it was 25.
It was the initial phase.
Because if we go over the number of people that are allowed in here,
we're going to have to go outside.
You're the first one I'm throwing out of here.
We got to broadcast from the parking
lot. No, I'm staying here.
We're moving on out.
I'm not moving out. I'm not moving up, but I'm kicking you out.
We'll punch a hole through the wall. We'll take over the vacant space, and then we'll double our capacity.
As long as you can do that legally.
Oh, well, like, there's a lot of things going on looting-wise that aren't legal. And a lot of people putting holes in a lot of things.
I don't want to get back into that. All right, let's go hit another break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong. You're off. And Staff Zone, you're out.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. I'm Adam Richman, culinary traveler and gastronaut, and you are feasting your ears on Knockout Radio. Who wants a knuckle sandwich?
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Culver's Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich has just the right amount of heat. Gauge for yourself, hotshot. You'll need our special breading containing a pinch of hot, peppery goodness. Add one natural cut chicken breast, plus crisp lettuce and tomato to keep things cool. Then savor that blissful burn.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole perfectly spicy, crispy chicken sandwich thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chef Robert Irvine, highest rated show on the Food Network. Woo! And you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back. I feel like I'm you right now. I feel like I'm Matt McClellan.
Woo!
I stand corrected. Okay. Kate Spade was, or it still is, but David Spade's their brother-sister.
Okay.
Not brother.
And I never told you this, but Dave Spade, I once asked him to do a liner, and he blew me off like the plague.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
We have a fan here, so I'm for fans. Yeah. I'm not going to rip the Spades any more than I already have.
Who did the woohoo better, Chef Robert Irvine or Ric Flair?
See, again, there is the stupidest thing. You're acting like the dummy that you are.
Woo!
Nobody does the woo better than Rick. Rick trademarked the woo.
Would you ever like to see like a backhand chest
you?
Slap?
I would love to see you get slapped again.
In the octagon? Like, what if somebody turned around and did like a backhand chest slap and then the...
The last world-class fight league that I judged, they had a slap-off.
Really?
They did.
A slap-off?
Yeah, they had a boxing thing, but you could only slap.
Oh, really?
So it was literally slaps.
Okay.
So there you go. Eric in Denver has also tweeted out to us that Gronk has already lost the 24/7 7-Eleven belt.
What?
That R-Truth has got it back.
Wow. So he vacated it so he'd come back to the NFL.
R-Truth is the best when he goes off about it. He's the 24/7 7-Eleven Mickey Mouse, and he goes through this whole line of stuff, belt winner.
Love it.
So I would have liked to have seen somebody come out of Ray J in the middle of the game, run out on the field, do a DDP diamond cutter, and take the belt from Gronk.
That's what I was going to do.
Well, you would have been arrested, that but a real plan. Wrestler... A real wrestler might not have been.
No, the police are busy with other stuff.
Not by then.
I got away with it.
Everything will be great. Also, I want to remind everybody it's hurricane season coming up. If you need any tree work done, the guys at Tree Impressions of Florida, give them a call.
Awesome.
Tell them you heard it from me, not from Matt, because they'll charge you extra if you say Matt.
Double.
But if you say you heard it from me, I'm sure they'll hook you up. 727-263-9291. Hurricane season right around the corner, then that's just what we need.
So, right, one thing to another, right?
You have until tomorrow to save on tax, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
All of your hurricane batteries, generators, all that kind of stuff.
We have a garage door guy here, don't we?
He's just not a garage door guy. Literally, he's the best.
And that is?
He's not the first person to ever come to the garage door. Seriously. He came out and he fixed it like, I don't want to exaggerate. I bet you it wasn't more than 40 minutes.
Really?
I had a guy come out and tell me that he had to order parts, that it would take 2 to 3 weeks, and it would take him a day to fix it.
Wow.
Yeah, so Steve Linnae, it's the dude.
How do we get a hold of Steve? What's Steve's contact? I mean, I know he's two booths over.
Yeah, just go to the booth down there.
But I was trying to get a phone number or a company name.
Well, I'll listen to the commercial. It's coming up next. All right, so what else? The next segment's yours. What do you want?
Nothing, man. It just feels good to have people in the restaurant again. I mean, We're on this like COVID shutdown, and now the restaurants are starting to open back up. Things are starting to get back to some normalcy. Then city curfews are shutting things down early at night because of like the protesting and the takeovers. So, but it does feel good to actually, for a little bit of time during the day, to have people in the restaurant and to have a little bit of normalcy back in our life. That's I think a lot of people are feeling that way. I mean, it's just a weird time. And but getting sports back on, NASCAR coming back on, and
Billy Q must be not only one of the baddest fighters we've ever seen,
yes,
but he must be like Invisible Man.
Is he already here?
Well, I got a text that said he's here, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's not.
I hope he's not at the other store.
I gave you the address. Oh. 88th and 4th Street.
Yeah. Maybe he's in the parking lot?
I don't know.
How do we know what he looks like? Would he be beat up, like bruises and cuts and scratches?
I don't think so.
He didn't get that. He didn't take much damage, did he? I don't know. We're looking for Billy Q. Billy Q. Anybody know?
That's
Billy Q.
He may be in the car waiting for Matt or something, but it's.
Maybe he's afraid to come in because the.
Yeah, he's afraid.
Curbside takeout.
Yeah, he's afraid.
I mean, people are afraid of viruses.
I honestly thought that was one of the coolest things. You know how I don't remember much?
Yes.
And I honestly, truly don't.
You don't.
It's not a gimmick. I will remember those last 5 seconds. It's like, the Perry dance.
Sucker punch.
It wasn't a sucker punch.
That's what the internet said.
Perfect. I'm not even going to set you up. I can't wait.
You're going to roll me under the bus? Are you serious right now?
Oh, I'm going to get your ass kicked.
Will you control your husband? Your husband is out of control today.
I am going to get your ass kicked.
He's trying to get me beat up by Billy Q I said that the internet said that it was a sucker punch. I didn't say it was a sucker punch.
You just said it.
Hold on
a second. You said, good seeing you. You said
it was great to see
the sucker punch. You didn't say again the internet. I'm going to tell you a quick story. Okay.
The Irish hand grenade?
Not even that one. I used to have a co-host. How come almost every one of my co-hosts are buffoons? Because this guy was like you, a buffoon.
You hire us.
So we went to a UFC in Connecticut.
Okay.
And had Matt Hughes on.
Okay.
And this guy knew nothing about MMA, about the sport, about anything. And talked about the controversial win that he had over Carlos Newton.
Okay.
And some people alleged that Matt was unconscious, as was Carlos Newton. Newton had him in a triangle. Matt lifted him up and then slammed him. And it appeared
they both knocked out.
That they both could have been knocked out.
Right.
Matt was not knocked out. So this particular person, and I don't want to give him any credit, so I'm not going to say his name, because like you, a moron, he made that comment. So tell me about the time you were unconscious when you won the belt. And Matt said, let me show you how unconscious I was. And he choked him unconscious.
No.
It was my favorite thing that has ever happened. Seriously? Next to me telling Billy that you said it was the sucker punch, and I want to see him do the same to you.
You think he's going to choke me out?
He choked the co-host out, unconscious. The PR people ran from the other side of the room because they thought he was dead. I asked them to wait till I could take a picture.
Oh, my God.
I wanted a picture of said co-host unconscious on the floor.
I mean, I think in today's time it's a little insensitive to for this guy to choke me out today.
I don't think so. if you're gonna make that stupid comment,
I didn't say it was me. I'm just saying that the internet said
that's not what you just said.
It was a sucker punch.
You said that earlier in the program. You have now called it a sucker punch four times, and I will let Billy know that.
But do you? Okay, yeah, I'll talk to him about it. Fine. Like, look,
oh, I'm gonna talk to him about it.
Like, but would you hit a defenseless fighter like someone walking away? Even with time on the clock.
Obviously, yes. Yes.
So you don't shoot somebody in their back when they turn around?
Don't shoot someone. Hold on a second. Since that was another one of your stupid comments. You don't shoot someone in the back if they're walking away. If you're having a gun fight, you do.
Isn't that the whole thing about the walking away, like the respect part? Like, you don't shoot someone in the back?
No.
Like, you don't hit somebody walking away. Like,
oh, my God. You are driving me crazy. So if I meet you at high noon for what's the official wording called?
Showdown?
A showdown.
Showdown.
So if I turn my back to you and walk towards you, so I'm walking backwards towards you, you're not going to shoot me. So I can then hold the gun over my shoulder and shoot you because you're not going to shoot me in the back, right?
What if you haven't started yet? I mean, it's just like,
but this was started.
There's just certain ethical things. Like,
I'm going to tell Billy that you said it was a sucker punch. I can't wait. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
What are you going to do? Get me choked out today?
No, I'm going to get him to do the same thing.
Pizza lives matter, bro.
That he did to Hunter.
Pizza lives matter.
Yours doesn't right now. I cannot wait. I can't wait. Let's go hit a break. I'll go look in the parking lot.
I'm going to go stretch. Get ready for
this. No, you just sit there. You cannot get up. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
There's a disco inferno with Randy Harris, and I'm here to burn this mother down.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
I was going to start singing. Why? You're not in a band. It's hot-blooded, baby. That's my era. It's not Motorhead, but it's Foreigner. Which certainly isn't.
Motorhead's here in the parking lot.
Yeah, I've got a gift for Scott, or Scott and Steve and Bob, and I can't wait to watch you get your butt kicked. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, are you
just? I'm turning your mic off.
You're going to set me up.
I'm not setting you up at all.
You're going to throw me under the bus.
I'm going to put you in front of the bus. I'm going to put you, and only because he jokes about it now a lot. I'm going to Matt Hughes it. Is what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
Let's walk into the program and in studio. This is kind of a weird studio. It is. It is Tour de Pizza. Billy Q, but Quarantillo.
Quarantillo, there you go. See, you got it right. Appreciate it.
I was watching. I got to be honest with you. I fell asleep through most of the entire card.
Okay, yeah, understandable.
Well, it's not that. It's just that most people don't understand it's East Coast. Now, when I would go out there, it's okay.
It's earlier. Yeah, I get it.
I stayed awake for your entire fight. Great fight.
Thank you.
Of what I saw, should have been fight of the night.
Yeah, that's a lot of people told me that, and that's, you know, it's always good to hear, you know, after the fight, everyone's like, oh man, it was fight of the night, and you know, even though we didn't get that 50G bonus, a lot of people were talking about the fight after, and to get the win, and basically uninjured. I had a little show. I actually had to get an MRI on my shoulder to get it looked at, but I think it's going to be okay, and I think I'm pretty much fine besides that.
The question typically is about, you know, did you think you were going to get, and what I always tell people, and I don't know if you know this, I don't know if Matt told you, I am a judge here in the state of Florida.
Okay.
I was at all your RFC fights.
I've seen you around over the years. I've seen you at the UFC fights, of course, with Frivola and all those guys.
Right. And what I always say to people as a judge, which I take very seriously, if you're not watching the fight as a judge, and you don't have to be a judge, but if you're not watching all 5 minutes, paying attention to every punch, which I wasn't doing as sitting in my lazy boy chair. So, you know, I knew it was a close fight.
Yeah.
As you were there, you know, walk us through. Obviously, round two was going to be the close round.
Yeah. Round two is definitely the turning point. And it's funny, if you look on my coach Matt Arroyo's Instagram, they did right after the weigh-ins. They went back to the hotel because we had nothing to do. We were stuck in the hotel because of this whole pandemic. They actually made a video and they basically describe almost exactly how the fight's going to go. Basically, you know, this kid's going to come out. He's going to be super aggressive in the first round. I basically have to weather that storm, and I'm not going to waste all my energy, which, you know, we assumed he was going to do. The second round, you know, he actually did a better job than I anticipated him of staying in that round. You know, I thought I was going to break him a little easier and get the finish in the second or third round. So the second round, in my head, I knew he was getting the top position. Like, you know, he kept getting on top, but I was landing off my back. And then also, I think the 2 points that were the closest to being finished, like if you really watch it, you know, if you're casually watching, you're like, okay, this guy's on top most of the time. But if you understand MMA, he's in my guard. He's not really landing anything. Right. But what I'm doing is while he's trying to rest there, I'm elbowing him in the head and, like, you know, all the right spots, you know, making him work, you know, elbowing, doing damage. Then I throw up the triangle choke, and that was close, man. The one triangle, he fought out of it, and then, like, he kind of escaped for a second and came right back in, and it was deep again, like, the second time. So I knew the closest anyone was coming to getting the finish was me, but I also know, like, judges can score that either way. They can either take the damage from, you know, the guy who's doing the most damage and throwing up submissions, or he can give it to the top guy. So I knew it was going to be a close round, and going in the third, I basically tried to do everything I could do to finish the fight, and I think it was enough to get the convincing win.
And like you said, most novice, and, you know, as the sport continues to grow and grow, mm-hmm. we're getting more fans. I get that. But you're right. Most of the time people think whoever's on top won that round.
Yep.
You know, whether it's 2 minutes, whether it's 4 minutes, and it drives me crazy as a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching punches being thrown and the guy on top's doing nothing, and they're still giving it, you know, to the guy on top. Do you think, and again, these are professional judges, obviously, and people are always going to bitch one way or another.
Yep.
But it's to an advantage that there's very few fans, really no fans down at the Apex, because you don't hear the screaming, you don't hear the chantings, and judges can be swayed just by what they hear.
Yeah, I think it gets a more accurate judging, and I think a lot of people, you know, the people that have hit me up, some people are like, oh, it's a robbery. Obviously, there's been a ton of people that have supported me, but like the negative ones always stick out. So the people that are like, oh, it's a robbery. Those are the ones that lost money on FanDuel or this or that. And a lot of them listen to the commentators. The commentators, it's their job. What's up, dude? The commentators, you know, it's their job. It's Bisbing and DC's job to basically entertain. So when DC is seeing him on top and they're talking about all these other things, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, Spike's probably winning this round because he's on top. He's not really paying attention to, like a judge would pay attention to that.
So first, Matt Arroyo just walked in, so let's say hi to him.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
What's up, buddy? I'm great.
Appreciate you coming out. How's your roof?
Roof.
Didn't you have a roof problem not too long ago?
Oh, yeah. Your buddy fixed it. Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. I was thinking MMA. I'm like, is that a special term?
Just a little plug for our boys.
Yeah,
that's all.
They fixed it good.
So you mentioned robbery. We used to have a co-host, Derek Kukulich, used to work for the Bucks, and he would always say this, and this is true. 29-28, that can go either way, is never a robbery.
Yeah.
It's a close fight.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. You know, and I'm sure you both would admit it was a close fight.
Yep.
That's right.
But it's not a robbery. Either way, if he would have won, it was a close fight.
Yeah. Of course. And I actually just posted because, you know how it is. Like, there's been so many positive comments and people saying really nice things and like, oh, my God, great fight and this and that. And then, like, there's those little trolls that are like, oh, well, it was a cheap shot and you actually lost those rounds. And those are the ones that you're like, come on, man. So I actually posted, have you ever heard of that verdict? The verdict does, it's like this online site that it takes a bunch of like MMA, you know, like hardcore MMA fans, and it puts them in a group and they basically live score the round. So every round, 10-9, 10-9.
Right.
And then they take all that data and then they put it out there and it becomes like, you know, like the first round they said he won like 8 or 9 point something to, or you know, he was like close to 10, but not at 10, but like close by. And then the second round was super close, and the third round I was winning by, you know, like more than a round because some people had it 10-8. So it judged that and it gave me the win. So I got nothing else to prove, man. I know I won that fight, and it's, you know, we're gonna get ready for the next one.
Let's be honest, even if you have something to prove, you don't have anything to prove.
Exactly.
You know, the only thing that matters, and we all know this, is the three guys sitting around the octagon.
Yep.
You know, and again, as a judge, I look at if all three have the same score, there is no bitch. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If you would have lost 29-28, and you know me, Matt,
yep.
you know that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
How much, and I was going to ask Matt, the other Matt, if he was to show up, how much of an advantage will he now have in his fight after being out there with you guys and experiencing the Apex and, you know, no fans and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, he's been there before also for the contender, but... Yeah, just seeing the behind the scenes, you know, things going with the whole new COVID testing and all that, he got to experience it. Same thing with Billy when Matt was in the UFC and Billy was on his way up, he got to experience the behind the scenes of what it's like to be in the UFC, and it kind of makes your brain, you know, process it and be like, I could do this. I've been here before, you know, even when you haven't. So for Matt, you know, this is his I think it's his fifth UFC fight.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, he's good, man. He's good to go.
Well,
he's
like,
a veteran.
We just had Chase on and we were talking about it, and people tend to forget. And even when I asked the question, you know, you guys came up, you know, RFC, world class, whatever. It's not 19,000. You know, there's been events I'm sure you fought, 200 people are there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, which is only a little bit more. I know that I'm being funny with the Apex, but what was there? 30 people?
Yeah, 40 probably people? Not even.
Not even. It was crazy.
Maybe like 15 people.
Way less than the Contender Series, because at least the Contender Series, we all, you know, had our friends there and everything, our family, but this was literally the two fighters, the you know, Dana and like five or six people. It's crazy.
What's this whole ride been like for you? You know, you fought, obviously, fought some with the UFC. Now you have fighters. You know, a lot of times guys tell me how not only how different it is, but how much harder this is, because there's nothing you can really do once your guy or girl gets in the octagon.
Yeah, for me, it's been surreal. I mean, you know, we were just talking about this the other day. Like in 2010, we wrote down all of our goals for these guys, and, you know, Matt and Billy and a few others. And like 10 years just flies. It does. It's just like a snap. We're in 2020 now, and they're there. They're both there. They made it. And it's been surreal. I think back, and I'm like, you know, when we talked about it originally, it was just a thought. It was just, you know, he wants to be in the UFC. Okay, well, here's how to do it. Now we got to go and get to work to do it. And then over the years, we had some opportunities like the Ultimate Fighter and things like that. But, you know, now finally, you know, we're here. He's ready mentally. He's ready physically. His experience is there. Everything came together at the right time for him and Matt. And, you know, being on the other side coaching and not being in there, you know, having the control of what I do in the fight, it's almost like, especially with Billy, it's almost like I'm in there, because he listens really well. Like if I see something and I say it, he hears me, and he can either do it or not do it. But most of the time he does it, and it works out. So we got that telepathy going, you know.
Yeah,
30 fights.
He's cornered me. That was my 30th fight. So I lost my first fight in Buffalo. I took it, like, you know, before I moved to Tampa. I lost my first fight in Buffalo. I took a fight against a kid who was 4-0 in like the regional scene. His name was Josh Lang, and I took it from training for like 2 or 3 months, and I lost a split decision. And then after that, I moved down to Tampa, and I was like, I'm ready to fight again. He's like, all right, let's take a few more months. And he basically was like, all right, you know, we had to, you know, learn a lot more jiu-jitsu, learn striking. And I came up, and I basically kept like begging to fight, and I got in sooner than I wanted to. And we went back to Buffalo. I ended up knocking out the kid in the first round, like within like, well, like 30 seconds,
the first
exchange. And then ever since then, he's cornered me in every single fight besides the one on the Ultimate Fighter. And I actually lost that one too. So we're actually 25 wins and 3 losses. He's cornered me in every single fight. It's been a crazy journey.
Talk about the connection. You know, you have a gym, you're a fighter. It's kind of like a marriage, but, you know, well, I'm saying you could have gone to a different gym. You know, you might not have been there the day he walked in. Just talk about how that whole thing came together.
Well, like I say, these guys are like, I'm almost a decade older than most of them, and so they're like my younger brothers.
Well, that doesn't make me feel old.
You're a decade older than me, so, you know.
I'm a little more than that.
But no, I think of them as little brothers. I never had a little brother. I've had a younger sister, older brother, older sister. But it's just crazy, you know, like you become family with these guys. You're around them all day for their camps, you know, morning, night, you know, putting into them, not just with training, but, you know, you try to mentor them. He was 20 years old when he came, you know. What the hell do you know at 20 years old? You know, I was close to 30. So, you know, what do you know at close to 30, you know, looking back now? But I did. I knew some stuff. I knew how to get to where he wanted to go. And I'm learning along the way, and I'm trying to put into them what I learn and, you know, make these guys solid fighters and solid people, you know, financial, spiritual, everything, you know. You just try to pour into who you're training, and you get a connection. And then, you know, now, you know, he made it to the UFC. So it works, you know. And now we have a business relationship as well, because now, you know, I'm his manager, trainer, and we make money together, we win together, we lose together.
Yeah, and we definitely fight together too. It's not, has definitely not always been like, oh, we're going to make it to the top. And it's been like this like easy ride. You know, I've had like some pretty bad injuries. You know, we went through things with like, you know, some of our teammates leaving and different guys wanting to go to different gyms. Mm-hmm. You know, the Ultimate Fighter, where, you know, losing that, it was like a lot of people, oh man, you know, he needs to go to one of these big gyms and train. Yeah. And I knew we were doing the right stuff. I knew I just had to, you know, instead of blaming my coaches, it was on what I was doing. And you know, we basically got on the same page. And these last, you know, I've lost one fight in the past like, you know,
4 years,
basically the whole thing. Yeah, even longer than that. I've had that one loss, and that's pretty much it for the longest time.
Oh yeah.
Matt, you mentioned family, you know, the way it is in the gym. And, you know, when I used to train with David Vieira, you know, I loved that whole atmosphere of it. Try to talk about that for the listeners. You know, they follow MMA, they love MMA, but I don't know if they get what it's like it is a family, and it truly feels that way.
No, you don't know someone until you punch them in the face, you know, like
I don't want to get to know you. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, like, I think jiu-jitsu is different too, because we're physically like dominating each other and trying to beat each other up. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I don't think you can get that with, maybe you can get it with CrossFit, but it's kind of different when like you're sweating all over someone. I know this sounds weird, especially for people who don't train, but like, you know, and you tap them out, and then maybe later, a couple weeks later, they tap you out, and it's like this camaraderie that you get with your, basically with your training partners. And then with me and my students, the same thing. Like I taught Billy stuff 10 years ago, and you know, maybe now he's catching me with it, and I'm like, well, that sucks, he caught me with it. But then it's like, all right, well, should I be too upset? I taught him this, and he's using it, and he's using it in the fights, and it's just pretty cool. Yeah. It's very hard to describe, but it is.
It's almost like a consistent. Like there's a group of guys, and at Gracie Tampa South at his gym, there's just guys that I've been training with. You know, we've all been training with for like, you know, 10 years, and you just know so much about each other because you've trained with each other. You're always like, you're basically fighting with each other, but you're both trying to make each other better. So you're basically both on this kind of journey of getting to that next level. And you know, I'm one of the lucky ones that get to see it pay off, and you know, on ESPN and on the big screen. But you see guys, you know, if I'm having an off day, I'm getting my ass kicked by a bunch of people. Yeah. It's not like he's a UFC fighter. Like, no, it's it's a bigger target on my back where people try to put it on me.
Let's talk about the relationship of the corner. You know, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Matt last week. You know, about what happened to Anthony Smith, and mm-hmm. Should it have been stopped? Should it not have been stopped? What should the corner have done?
Yeah.
And then I brought up what happened with Deontay Wilder, and then Mark Breland stops it and gets fired. So how do you know as the corner, you know, you put all your trust in the corner, but how do you know as the corner, I know what he wants, but I know what I should do?
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that?
I'm letting his ass die in there.
and I would tell him.
I'm not throwing that towel.
I would probably fight. I would probably try to fire him too. No, not really.
Just to be honest, I mean, he could tap out whenever he wants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna it would have to be really bad for me to step in and stop it.
I've never, since I've had the 30 fights, I've never made him do that. I think if he called the fight off, I would know deep down, and I'm sure my family, my brothers would tell me too, I'm sure deep down that I did not have a chance to win that fight, and exactly. Which it would be on my last breath, because I'm still, even if I'm getting my ass whooped, I'm still throwing big punches and looking for submissions. I'm very capable of winning a fight with, you know, down on points.
Yeah. I mean, there was one fight that in particular, I didn't want to bring it up, but the British kid on The Ultimate Fighter, you know, Billy was not winning that fight, but I think that would be the extent of it. Like, I don't think there's going to be a guy right now that's going to, like, dominate him where I would be like, you know, I'm going to throw the towel on. Like, you know, he took his licks in that fight.
Yeah. And that was only a 10-minute fight, too.
It was a 10-minute fight, you know.
So it wasn't that,
Right.
And then Billy doesn't, you know, he could take that. Like, I know my fighters. Like, he'll take that, and he'll still have a chance to win. Like, if I thought, and again, it's a ref's job, too, right? Like, if he doesn't have a chance and he's getting overwhelmed, the ref should stop it as well. But if there happened to be a ref for like that where they don't, maybe then,
right.
But other than that, like, no way.
There's always
a shot to win.
You know, it's right. It's an awkward, it's an interesting, you know, you just don't know, and you don't know until you're put into that position. Hopefully you never are, but you don't know until you actually are, you know. All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon, coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street, in about 15 minutes, whether they know it or not, whether they want to or not. Matt and Billy are going to make their own pizzas.
And Billy,
there you go.
Billy's going to love it.
They're going to
feel so good.
They're going
to
learn.
They're
going to learn how to throw pizza. We're going to do the whole thing. It's
going
to be a lot of fun. So let's go hit our final break of the afternoon, coming to you live from Torta Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Some. We'll be right back.
Now on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sean Payton. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is pound for pound, the best fight in the world, Floyd Mayweather, and you're talking sports with Randy, the best in the world, Harris.
Before we get back to the fight, and as you guys know, I don't talk a whole lot about what we're supposed to talk about. What pizza toppings are you guys going to go for when you put your pizzas in?
Pepperonis is my jam.
Just straight pepperoni?
Straight pepperoni.
But usually they're together, like, you know, coach and athlete. Today we're gonna go head-to-head.
Oh, so, separate them. Oh, wow.
When Tony Ferguson and Rashad Evans came in, it was a duel.
When the Bucks came in?
Face-to-face.
Oh,
you guys
really?
Okay. Each make your own pizza. We will judge.
Okay.
Based on, like, quality, texture, we won't.
No, we
flavor.
Won't. Hold on a second. No, we won't.
Okay.
For the same reason that I just told you about the bike.
Yeah.
I'm not judging.
There's going to be bias.
You know, Matt's going to go, dude, you've known me for longer than Billy. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So we've got some people that are here. I will taste both.
Okay.
But I won't be an official judge.
Yeah. I'll probably beat him in round one. He'll come back in round two and three and beat me. And, you know,
I love the predictions. You're like, you know, he's going to weather the storm in round one. This kid comes out aggressive. And he did. And we actually knew, like, you know, we break down these guys really good. We knew he was going to come straight at me, yeah. But it was a small cage. And I didn't think he was going to come with a front kick. I thought he was going to just come with, like, punches. So we had a couple different options of, like, kind of bailing out or taking him down. And I just waited a second too long. And I saw his kick come up and I grabbed it. And I'm like, oh, he already got me with it. Oh, man. Yeah, what a wild way to start a fight.
All right, so Matt and I talked about it earlier in the show. I'm old. I don't remember a whole lot. I can probably tell you the six fights I remember seeing, and my first UFC that I went to was UFC 11, so I've been to a lot. I will remember what happened. I have an opinion on it. There's a lot of, I hate to say it this way, morons that look at it differently. Before I tell you my story with Eric Reynolds and something not similar, but they've brought that up. Walk us through, and you know what I'm talking about. It's not controversial, but people think it is, you know, with the legal punch.
Oh, at the end of round one.
Yeah. The legal punch.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened. So we, you know, we take the fight, you know, just to bring it back. We take the fight. I already knew he knocked out Alon Cruz. You know, I watched the fight. I'm watching it. You know, obviously I have a bit of a biased opinion because I'm friends with Alon, but to me, he caught him with a head kick. Alon shot in, and he basically elbowed him in the back of the head and punched him in the back of the head to get the knockdown and to finish the fight. So I already kind of thought he was kind of dirty. We go out there, and he's super nice when he sees me. He's like, oh, hey, Billy, so good to meet you. I'm like, yeah, you know, nice to meet you. And he goes, and at that point, I'm kind of being respectful and everything. I'm not making any, like, jokes about him. And Bisping videotapes him, and he's like, you know, Spike, what do you think is going to happen in this fight? And he's like, oh, it's going to be a massacre. It's like an absolute massacre inside of two rounds. And, like, this is out in, like, you know, I see it, like a bunch of people send it to me. So we're obviously not friends at this point, you know. We start talking to the ref before the fight, and he's like, I'm like, hey, just so you know, he's like, hey, already know about it. He's like, I heard about the back of the head, you know, with your opponent. Like, he's like, I'm well aware of the situation, meaning he already knew about the previous fight. So we start the fight. He comes in with the front kick, which that's, oh, you know, the fight started. That's fine. I grabbed him to go take him down, and right away he starts doing the exact same thing. So I'm thinking, I'm like, no way I can get knocked out by this. Like, I just watched him do it. You know, so at that point, I'm like, it's illegal. And of course, they're not going to, like, I didn't expect him to, like, break the fight and be like, are you okay? Which technically you could do, right, if sure. you're getting hit in the back of the head, especially sure. from someone like that's already done it. But at that point, I was like, all right, whatever I have to do to win this fight, I'm winning this fight. And, like, this guy can't break me. So I basically weathered the storm there. As the first round goes on, obviously I took some good shots. I took some licks. You know, I took his back at one point, went back and forth. In my mind, I'm doing whatever I can do to win that round. You know what I mean? So he's in my guard, and I think he got a little frustrated because he couldn't really do much in my full guard. And he basically got up when he heard the 10-second marker. So he heard, like, the 10 seconds, and he just, like, was frustrated that he knew he wasn't going to finish me. So he just got up and, like, kind of walked away. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I have plenty of time to get up and punch this dude. So while I'm getting up, the ref's like, he was in shock. He's like, fight till the bell, fight till the bell. And by that point, I got up and I saw his you know, the side of his face. I could have punched him right in the back of the head, but I punched him right in, like, the side of the face. So to me, and I kind of took off on it because I didn't know if he was, like, trying to set me up for something.
Right, right.
But to me, yeah, there was no – people like, oh, it's a cheap shot. I'm like, dude, what did you want me to do? Get up and push him or start yelling at him? Like, we're literally in the middle of a fist fight.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to – I put on my Instagram. I'm like, I would take that punch every single time and, like, maybe even throw it harder next time and get him in the side of the face or in the back of the head where he got me.
So people have reached out to me, and I don't know if you remember the situation that back in the day. Eric Reynolds was training at David Vieira's, mm-hmm. carried the David Vieira flag where I was training. So I took it kind of personal, and he held onto a choke after the ref tried to stop it. And I got a little vocal. I'm like, you're representing us. I mean, you don't do that crap.
Yep.
And, you know, we had some words, and he was very respectful, and everything was cool. Then he fought up, I don't even remember the organization, up in Atlantic City, and something happened very similar to the Dan Henderson Bisping. Mm. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, what did I do wrong? Because he threw another punch. I said, nothing. If the referee doesn't stop it until the bell rings, you're in a fight.
Yeah.
And so for anybody, whether they know about the sport or not, like this knucklehead, I'm not going to throw you under the bus just yet, but I will. It bothers me that people think they know the sport and they think you did anything wrong in throwing that punch.
Yeah.
And not because I know you guys and not, you know, I would say it if you did it wrong. I would say that.
Yeah, I would listen to it.
And it just bothers me that people are so adamant about it's a cheap shot. It was this and it wasn't.
Yeah. People are forgetting that, like, you know,
it's a fight.
Well, I've already gotten drilled in the face. And you know how it is. Like, you lose a fight, it's half your purse. Like, you're losing half your money.
Yep.
And you only get 15 minutes, and my job that fight, you know, our strategy was, you know, this pandemic was a crazy training. So I knew it was going to be a dogfight. You know, I wasn't just going to go out there and smoke him unless I got an early submission, but I knew it was going to be a tough fight. And so every second of that fight, I'm trying to wear him down. I'm trying to break him. So if you turn away and give me that chance, like right after he's like, absolutely do that. Absolutely. We didn't even think twice about it.
I think I would have still invited you here if you didn't do it. And I would have said, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Why wouldn't you? And there's nothing wrong with it, and everybody would do it.
Yeah.
It's part of the fight game.
Something to mention is there was no crowd. You hear the click, click, click for 10 seconds and ding, ding, ding.
And you heard the ref talking, and like,
and he told
him. It was a weird moment.
Were you surprised that he got up and just walked away?
I was thinking he was like, he thought that, he was so, like, devastating on top that he was just going to get up. And I was just, oh, man, I'm, like, going to lay here. I'm so, like, you know, I'm so worried about you. But for me, like, the second he got up, I just knew from, you know, how many rounds we've done, 10 seconds left, that was plenty of time to get up and punch him.
Yeah, he either thought that the clicker was the bell, like, because he's, like, jaggled with his head because he got hit, you know. Or he thought that he would get up. And by the time he got to the middle, ding, 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 right?
Over.
But there was 10 seconds.
Right.
That's a long time. If we sit here for 10 seconds right now, I could punch all three of you and leave this place and get into my car in 10 seconds.
I've had, and I say it and people laugh, Matt Hughes has mounted me for 10 seconds and it felt like 3 weeks.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's same if you were to do it to me, you know, so it's not just Matt, you know, it's eternity mm-hmm. and you fight till the bell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fist fight. You know, this knucklehead said about, you know, if you're in a duel, do you shoot the guy as he's walking away? Yes. You're in a duel at high noon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
I'm trying to win. I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to get to the next. You know, if I don't take that, and or what if I get up and he throws a spinning back fist, which he does in all of his fights. Right. You know, he's won by knockout by spinning back fist. And what if I get up and I wait a second and he hits me? There, you know, there was no gentleman's agreements, as we call them. There was none of those going on. So it was kill or be killed.
And regardless, to be remembered, you know, this is a memorable moment of UFC history. People are going to remember. Remember that moment, which builds your stardom.
Oh, everyone was talking about it.
I won't remember it.
And the buzz behind you now is the next fight will be even bigger.
It
next
went viral.
Next time you guys need to come at 2:30, so we'll have a full hour and a half. I want to thank you guys for coming. We're going to get behind the
All right, no problem. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
For coming on, we're going to hook you guys up with some 8-man strong gear as well.
Cool.
So
thank you.
We'll get you back on here very, very soon to talk about future and what's next for you. I want to thank everybody. This is Knockout Radio. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, this is Baseball Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.